Man, it has been a great 10 days. It's good to be home. After what we've been through, it's really good to be home. You know, we've had a great time in the Holy Land, and, you know, people have asked about one of the posts that I had put on Facebook about our landing in Tel Aviv, and I want to tell you that was also exciting. It's a first for me to be on a plane and hear the pilots say that we got word. We were flying from Frankfurt to Tel Aviv, and the pilot said we'd just gotten word, or we'd gotten word that the from Frankfurt that a great part or a large part of our tire was on the runway when we took off. And so then the last hour of our flight, our stewardess were preparing our cabin for a crash landing. And I'm telling you, it got, prayer went way high in that last hour. I'll just be honest with you. When you sit in an airplane, and I have flown thousands of miles, and my 16-year-old son is sitting beside me, and he looks and said, "This ever happened before?" It's like, "No, that's the first for me, buddy." And they start taking the curtains down from in front, you know, in the aisles and storing them. And they walk through safety things that they'd already walked through before. And they said, "Listen, more than likely we'll hit hard a couple of times." And said, "Everybody needs to get their coats out of the storage and put them on. And ladies need to take off their high heel shoes." And said, when you exit the plane, just, they showed us how to jump off the onto the slides, and said, "When you get to the bottom, run as fast as you can away from the plane." And I'm sitting there, and we've flown a long way, and we should have already landed at that time. And my mind is thinking, you know, the pilot's dumping fuel, so the explosion's not going to be as big, right? I'm telling, your mind goes crazy. I'm glad I'm laughing now. You know, I think all of us were calm on the outside, but praying really hard on the inside. I just kept praying, you know, the Lord knows when a sparrow falls from the sky. And if God knows the numbers of hairs on our head, even mine, and knows when a sparrow doesn't fall from the sky without him knowing, I thought, "Lord, it's a big sparrow. And keep this thing up." And I started praying over the tires, that God would keep them inflated. And sitting there looking at my son, thinking, "Lord, you know, in your mind, what is going to happen? Will it roll over? Will it, you know, break in half?" I mean, in my mind, I'm thinking all of this stuff, and I'm praying for him. And, you know, the whole trip, I knew the only person, it was 19 of us, the only one I had to get back to Halton was Jeb. And so I, you know, start praying for him. And it was just one of those moments, you know, where God just kind of draws you in for a moment. It's one of those times where in that hour, nothing else mattered. Have you ever had a time like that in your life where something just completely puts the brakes on life and nothing else matters? The things that you worried about before, they were very insignificant. The things that you had thought about before, very insignificant. And I sat there in that hour praying and asking God, "Just whatever happens, right? Just whatever happens, I want to be glorified in you. I want you to keep us safe, but whatever happens." And it was one of those moments. You know, I think God allows us those moments in our life when maybe our life is fast and inconsistent or out of control, and God just slows things down. Maybe for you it was at a doctor's appointment, where you hear cancer, or you hear a word. Maybe it was after a loss of a job, or a marriage that fell apart. It's just like it seemed as though nothing else really, it's like the world kind of stopped for a moment. as we spent the last several days in the Holy Land and long days seeing incredible places. At night, I'd find myself in back in our room and praying through, you know, what, where we're to go as a church, you know, what's next for us, and even just kind of thinking about how life gets so busy and fast and crazy. And I told Scott before I left, I said, just have a sermon ready for the 5th, or is it the 6th? I don't even know what day it is today, to be honest with you. We took off from Tel Aviv yesterday at 5:20 and landed in Dallas at 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon, and we had flown for 16 hours. I don't know how that works, but there must have been a flux capacitor in the plane, because Michael J. Fox, I saw him, we were back in the future, and it was just kind of, I don't even really know where I am right now. I woke up at 2 this morning, and I've been awake since then, and I told Scott middle of the trip, I said, listen, I'm going to do everything I can to preach Sunday morning, because I believe God's put a message on my heart for us moving into this year, and maybe just a break, a time out, a disconnect, a time for us to kind of disconnect from things that are going on right now in our life, the busyness of your mind, and even the things that you're thinking about, or things that are moving forward in your life. I thought airplane mode. That's what I want to call this. Because when you get on an airplane, you have to turn your phone on airplane mode, and you disconnect for however long that flight is. There's no text. There's no communication with anybody. You disconnect in order. I want us to disconnect in order to connect this morning and maybe this year. As I woke up early this morning, I was really kind of praying through and thinking through the message. And the thing that kept coming over and over in my mind is how much time we're distracted by the little device we keep in our pocket or in our purse. And even this morning, I don't know how smart your phone is. Mine's a lot smarter than me. But like right now, an hour ago, I got a weekly report on my phone of how much time I spend on my phone a day. It's embarrassing. 3 hours and 52 minutes was my average screen time a day this past week. 4 hours a day, my face glows from a screen on this phone. Maybe I'm talking on it, maybe I'm texting on it, maybe I'm looking at it for whatever. Isn't Satan, his plan so shrewd in that he would use something like this to distract us from what God would have us to do in our life? And you know, so many times in my day, I think, I'm so busy. Oftentimes, I feel like at the end of my day, I haven't prayed as much as I should. I haven't spent as much time in the Word as I should. And then I look at something as condemning as that 4 hours on average a day I spent on my phone. How can we disconnect in order to connect to the one who wants to walk with us every step of our life? I want us to focus in January, these next 4 Sundays, on prayer. I want us to, it is the very thing that God has just been pushing into my heart and pressing into my mind, is that prayer, oftentimes like that hour on our flight, we use prayer as a security blanket or as a safety net or as a last resort. Almost a prescription of difficult times, we pray. rather than spending time daily communicating with our Heavenly Father. And so these next four Sundays, we're going to look at specific prayers. I sat in the evenings and I wrote out messages that we're going to walk through and prayers that we're going to walk through. And today is one that David prayed. And so if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Psalm 139. It's a psalm that we're really familiar with. David is thinking and expressing how wonderful God is, how big God is, how involved God is in his life. There's so many verses here, 24 of them. We can't get to all of them or read all of them, but let me just give you the context, and I want us to spend the majority of our time in the last two verses. Psalm 139. The first six verses, David talks about how God completely knows him. He knows him inside and out. Church, I want you to see this, because sometimes we have this small idea of God, but I want you to know, or maybe a small idea of ourselves, of who we are in God's creation, that there are billions of people on this earth. Could God possibly know me by name? Could God possibly care about the things that are going on in my life in the scheme of all of his creation? I want you to think about this. Listen to what David said. Lord, you've searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. He knows the things that come across our mind. Now, if that doesn't scare you, he knows the things we think about before they ever leave our lips. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You're acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. It talks about how God knows him completely. And then verses 7 through 12, really the context here is that he continually is present with David, no matter where David is. I mean, think about that. We can get on a plane and in the same day be on the other side of this globe, and God keeps up with us. Out of all of the people upon this planet, David, in this psalm, he said, God, I can lie down in the deep and you're there. I can go up on a high mountain and God, you are present with me. Where can I go, verse 7, from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Then in 13 through 18, David talks about how God created us, each of us, not just a handful of us, that God made each of us. Have you ever looked at a baby? I'm talking about like an infant, and you thought about all of the things that God had to wire and put in place just for life to begin in that little baby baby. It's like our body, but a lot smaller. Has there been a time lately that you have just been taken away by how incredible the human body is? Have you looked at a baby lately? If you haven't, I would encourage you to take a flight for 11 hours next to Nolan. I don't know Nolan's last name, but he and his sweet family live in Tyler. And Nolan cried from Tel Aviv to Dallas for 11, I can't say that, 10 and a half hours. The only time Nolan didn't cry is when I was making faces at Nolan to hopefully get him to smile or to laugh a little bit. Have you looked at a baby lately and seen how God's created us and just been taken aback at how awesome the human body is? Listen to what David said. He said, you formed me in my inward parts. It's the things that we can't see. David had no x-ray. He had nothing to show him the things that were on the inside of him. And yet David said, God, you formed my inward parts. You put all of this together. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, verse 14 says. In verse 15, my frame was not hidden from me when I was made in secret. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. I want you to look at verse 16. He said, in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. David said, every day that I've lived, God, it's been in your book. You know my days even before the very first one ever happened. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great's the sum of them. If I could count all of the times you think about me, there would be more in number than the sands. When I awake, I'm still with you. Verses 19 through 23, David struggles a little bit because he's in a season in his life where there are people who are hating him. They want to kill him. He has enemies, it seems, as when David looks across the landscape of his life, he sees one here and one there scattered all about. And he looks at those enemies and he even mentions hatred toward them. Those who would come against me and you, Lord, and the will that you want me, your will for my life. And as he talks about that, it forces him to pray this prayer. If you've got your Bible, look at verse 23. He's thinking about how awesome God is, how involved God is, that he's ever present, that he knows things, that he has created David and he has blessed David. And then when he starts looking at the things in his life that cause him problems, it forces him in verse 23 to pray this prayer. Here's the prayer that I want you and I to memorize moving into this year, 2019. The search me prayer. Listen to what he says. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. Now, if you have a New King James Version, it says anxieties. If you have an ESV, an English Standard Version, it says thoughts. He says, try me. Put me on trial, Father, and know my anxious thoughts. The things I think about that bring anxiety to my life. He said, put those on trial. Possibly those people that had surrounded him. Search me and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. Now listen to this next part. Golly, I wish I could see. And see if there is any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. I want you to get your pen. I want you to grab a bulletin or a piece of paper. And I want us in these next 4 weeks to take serious a call to prayer. A time for us to disconnect in our daily lives in order to connect with our Heavenly Father. Not prayers to bless our food, not prayers, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I'm talking about communion with your Father. I'm challenging you, First Baptist Halton, and myself, to let's spend as much time speaking and praying with our Heavenly Father as we disconnect from those things that oftentimes distract us from Him. Now, here's the first prayer. Search me and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. I want you to write this question down. How when God searches me, what does that mean? To search me, O God, and know my heart. Here's the question. What am I living for? The heart is the inward man. The heart is the passionate pursuit. The heart of an individual is the thing that, not the organ that beats in the chest, but the thing that the individual lives for. Here's the question, church. This is the question, sir, ma'am, student, moving into 2019. Search me, Lord, and know my heart. What are you living for? It's not why are you living, it's what you're living for that's important. God has a purpose for all of our life. That's why we live. But what's the very thing you're living for? You know, oftentimes in our life, we confuse the heart with the will of God. We say, well, you know, I followed my heart into something. Let me remind you what the prophet Jeremiah said about the heart. He said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You see, the heart, if we follow our heart, my heart leads me astray. What am I living for? What am I passionately pursuing in this life? Is it just to work a 40-hour week to pay the bills that I have placed willfully into my life? Is it just to pay off the decisions that I've made financially? Is it just to eke out an existence here on this earth? And if we're to live 70 or 80 or 90 years on this earth, what is it all for? What's the purpose? Is your purpose in this life to work until you're 62 and a half and can get a check from our government and you can put up a nest egg so that eventually you can do something that you want to do after you've worked all of your life? What are you living for? Comfort? Security? Acceptance? Do we live for the next like we can get on social media or the next friend or the next find? Isn't it so crazy that we so spend most of our life surrounding our life, glowing our face on a cell phone, seeing who we can be friends with? As if someone who's on Facebook's our friend at all. They don't walk through life with us. They just see what we ate for dinner last night. We post some pithy little saying or some neat little picture and we watch and see how many likes we can get from it, how many followers we can gain. What are we living for? The picture that makes us look the thinnest on a social media account? Are we living for something physical in this life? Can I make this statement and ask you to write this down? Jesus is enough. He's enough. It's not Jesus plus something else, a better salary. It's not Jesus plus a bigger house or Jesus plus a nicer car. I sat in a burger market with our young Jewish tour guide. His name's Eliav. He's newly married just in the last few years. We sat in a burger. It was the only burger we ate the whole time we were in Israel. And most of us went that night just to enjoy that. And we started talking with Eliav. It's amazing that if you live in Israel, teenagers, when you graduate high school, You don't turn 18 and go sign up for selective service. Most of you don't even know what that is. That's to sign up at the post office to say that if our country ever enacted a draft, that they could draft you and put you into the military without your choice to serve our country and to be in the military and to fight for the freedom that you and I take for granted every day. Now, that's how we do it. But if you live in Israel, when you turn 18 or graduate high school, boys spend a minimum of 3 years in the military. Every boy and every girl, 2 years. I sat with Eliav, who had spent his 3 years in the military, talked to him about life, and he had built a home there. He lives in a community. It's all Messianic Jews. Now, what I mean by Messianic Jew is Eliav is born a Jew. His family are Jews, but he has trusted Jesus as his Savior. He lives in a community, Messianic Jewish community, just outside the city of Israel, or city of Jerusalem. And so he knows Jesus. And I said, tell me about life. What is it like? You know, tell me about your home. He said, well, I built it myself. And we're sitting there trying to figure up his square footage of his house, and the best we could determine that it's somewhere around 700 or 800 square feet. I thought, my garage is more than that. My boys' bonus room where they play video games is half of his house. I said, what's the average salary here? He said, well, the average salary is probably, man, it's probably $1,800 U.S. dollars a month. $1,800 a month? That burger I ate costs just as much or more than a burger here in the U.S. Can I ask you, church, what are you living for? Because all the way across this sanctuary, we're spoiled brats. And I hadn't had enough sleep to really worry about what I'm telling you. But you are a spoiled brat. You are. And when Jesus looked at the rich man in the Gospels, and he came to the rich young ruler, and he said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a wealthy person to enter the kingdom of heaven. You and I think he's talking about someone else, but he's talking about you. Because 50% of this world's population live on $3 a day. Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. I want to know something. In 2019, if you and I pray that prayer and really ask God to search me, to search us and know our heart, you and I will come to the conclusion what we are living for is temporary and insignificant things. Really stupid things. Likes. Money. Comfort. Is it bad? No, none of it's bad, but they all make horrible gods, every one of them. Amen. Search me, O Lord. Know my heart. What am I living for? Look at the next thing. Try me. Put my life on trial. David is saying, God, allow me and my life and my actions and my attitudes and my thoughts, lay them out on trial. And God, you be the jury for my life. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. Here's the question. Write it down. God, what am I afraid of? I know most of you guys would say, I'm not afraid of anything. I'm not talking about the dark. I'm not talking about the boogeyman. I'm not talking about snakes. I'm not talking about what's under your bed or who's under your bed or who's behind the shower. I'm not talking about physical things. If you're my wife, I'm not talking about frogs. God, try me and reveal to me my anxious thoughts. What am I afraid of? And can I tell you, the answer is not nothing. That maybe you're afraid of failing. Maybe you're afraid that if you really surrender your life to Jesus Christ, no one will like you. Maybe you're afraid of what walking in a committed life with Christ will cost you. What are you afraid of? What God, try me, lay my life out on trial, and know my anxious thoughts. Am I afraid of rejection? Loss? Maybe you're afraid of death this morning. But you know, that hour in that plane with an uncertain end, and I'm looking at the stewardess' faces, the ones who smiled and gave me my Diet Coke. I'm looking, or actually, it was not Diet Coke. It was ginger ale. It's the only time I drink ginger ales on a plane. And she smiled. Now, when she told me how to jump down the slide, I'm looking at her face. There's not a smile anymore. She's serious. What in that hour, I want you to know something. I wasn't afraid. I wasn't afraid to die. I was a little nervous about how it might happen. I thought about an explosion. I thought about, you know, just being hurled or the plane breaking up. I thought about all of those things. I was not afraid. I had peace about dying. It was the how it was going to happen that made me anxious. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. What are you afraid of? The future? Death? Losing control of your life and handing it over to the authority of God? Here's the next part. Look at verse 24 and see if there is any wicked way in me. Oh. God, here's the question. Write it down. What am I hiding? What am I hiding? Listen to David. Search me, O God, and know my heart. What am I living for? Try me and know my anxious thoughts. What am I afraid of? And see if there is any wicked way in me. What am I hiding? David just wrote, there's nowhere I can go from your presence, God. There's nowhere I can go and hide from you. And in the very last verse of this psalm, he says, God, see if there's any wicked way in me. God, am I hiding something? Is there something I'm hiding in my heart? This is the man who committed adultery with Bathsheba, premeditated the murder of her husband, and tried to live that year as if nothing happened for a solid year. 12 months, he just lived as if nothing had happened. He had committed adultery and murdered the husband of the lady he committed it with. And for 12 months, he just acted like he was still king. He just lived his life. He was just going through the motions, covering up the sin that was in his life. Now, if you remember in that story that Nathan the prophet comes to David and he tells him a story. He said, King, that I want you to imagine if there was a man and he had one lamb and another man who had a bunch of lambs, he came and took that man's lamb, that only lamb, who was almost like a pet, a family member to him, and he slaughtered that lamb in order to feed his friends. David was furious. David said, that man should die because of a lamb. And Nathan looked at him and he said, King, you're that man. Now I want you to know something. What you and I will cover, the sin in our life, God will uncover that. But what you and I will uncover and expose, God's grace will cover. What? David lived a year covering his sin, hiding it. This is a great prayer. Search me and know my wicked way. God, help me to see that I'm covering in my life. The last part of this prayer. Lead me in the way of everlasting. Search me, try me, and see, and then lead me in the way everlasting. Am I willing to follow Jesus? Here's the four questions. What am I living for? What am I afraid of? What am I hiding? And finally, am I willing to follow Jesus? Am I willing to follow in the way everlasting? No matter what it costs, no matter where he says go, am I willing to follow him in the way everlasting? What about you? I want us to do this. I want us to bow our heads together this morning, all across this sanctuary. Don't get ready to leave, though, because it's not time. Amen. I want you to take a moment. I want you to hit airplane mode. I want you to disconnect right now in order to connect with God. I want to walk through this prayer and these questions that you just wrote down. Here's the first one. I want you to ask yourself, what am I living for? What am I living for? Is Jesus everything? Listen, he's enough, but what are you living for at this season, at this moment, right now? Search me, O God. Know my heart. What about this? Try me and know my anxious thoughts. Could you be honest enough to ask this question and allow the Holy Spirit of God to reveal those things in your life that are crippling you because of fear? It's fear that keeps us from walking in faith. It's fear that keeps us from saying yes to God, whatever it is. It's fear. Here's a question. What am I afraid of? See, I believe in a room this big, there's folks here, you're struggling with surrendering your life to ministry. There's people in this room, you're struggling with surrendering your life to go to the mission field. God said, go. God said, leave everything. God said, go and plant your life, your family, in a place where it's uncertain, and yet you're living in fear. What are you afraid of? What is it that's crippled you? Fear. See if there's any wicked way in me. Is there something you're hiding? Is there a sin in your life that you need to confess and repent of? And God, lead me in the way everlasting. Are you willing to follow Jesus? God, I love you, and I lift, God, my life to you, and I pray, Father, that you will speak and you will search my heart. God, I pray, Father, that you'll try me. God, in anything in my heart, in my life, God, that is I'm afraid of, God, I pray that you will expose that and show that to me. God, I pray for us as a church, Lord. God, if there is sin in our lives that are hindering us from walking with you, God, you will show us. And we will see the wicked way, God, if we are hiding things. And God, I pray that you will lead us and we will follow you. God, I pray for marriages in this room. God, that in 2019, God, you want to restore and rebuild. God, I pray, Father, that you would move. And that you would win victories and you would do what only you can do. God, I pray for families. I pray for individuals who are struggling with sin and addiction and issues, God, that nobody knows about. And God, I pray that 2019 would be the year that victory would happen, that healing would take place, emotional, physical. God, I pray, Lord, that you would show up. And I pray, Father, that individuals in this room would stop following after the gods of this world. And Father, they would follow. We would follow you. God, move in us as a church and as individual families and as people. God, we pray that in this year we will search and run after you. God, search us. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand together this morning.